Morning. Welcome to Baptist Christian Church. If you're visiting with us today, fill out one of those white cards in front of you and put an offering plate so we'll have a record of your attendance. I think I keep drawing the short straw. A couple weeks ago, they put me in that chair, and then this week I get to be in this chair. So I think Conrad's pulling something on me. So if you look down there for the Easter Sunday last week, we had a sunrise service. We had 5,419 for the attendance, and we had $1,295 for the Easter offering. So that was good. Today, opportunities for this week. At 10:45, we may have Sunday school. We're not sure yet. We're having our special business meeting right after the service, so we're going to take a little short break so you can get a drink or whatever you need to do. And then we really encourage, if you're a member, that you come back in, because we need as many people to be a part of this as we can. So please make sure you stay today, and Conrad will be sort of in charge of that, and he'll decide there if we got time for Sunday school or not. So we'll wait and see. Tuesday night is the ladies' Bible study at 7 to 8:30. Wednesday night is at 6:30 is prayer meeting and Bible study. And Thursday night is the Crusaders Teens. I'd like to welcome Pastor Herb today and his wife Margaret. And we appreciate him coming to give the message today. So he'll be bringing the message here after bed. Also, you read there, they're doing T-shirts for the Baptist Christian Church, and there's Lindsay Lefford is in charge of that. So if you have any information or ideas for that, let her know. Or also, she has her email there. You can email her and give her ideas also. And if you're a parent today, or a parent and you have a student graduating from 6th grade, 12th grade, or college, fill that out and turn that into put it in an offering plate, so we'll have that for information too. Memory verse today is from Colossians 4:6. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let's take a moment now to ask the Lord to come minister to us. Thank you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just thankful for this beautiful day that you have given to us. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the many blessings that you just continue to bless us with. We ask that you'd be with Pastor Herb today as he brings the message to us, that we would just clear our minds of our worries and our weeks ahead, and open our hearts and just take in this message and just use it in our daily lives. And we just ask that we would just use it to bring others to know you. We ask that you just be with Pastor Rich and Linda as they're going with their family, dear Lord. And we just ask that they'd have good fellowship. We ask that you just give them a safe trip home next week, and that they'd just be refreshed and ready to minister to you as they always do. We ask that now that we take up this offering, dear Lord, that we just give back just a small portion of what that you continue to give to us and our many blessings that you give us daily. We just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
May we stand for the reading of the scripture this morning, and it'll be from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary is the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. He has risen, and he's not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee, there, where he will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone, because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of them who he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported to the rest, but they did not believe them either. May the Lord add a blessing on the reading of his word this morning.
Well, again, I'd like to introduce Pastor Herb today. You guys probably remember him as a pastor at Bell Center, and he's since moved back to Michigan, so he's got quite a little drive coming down, and we sure appreciate him coming. So I'm going to ask him to come forward now and to give us a message God has laid on his heart.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that we can come in the great and awesome name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's only through the blood of Christ that we are able to enter into the Holy of Holies. And so, Father, as we come in the name of Jesus, as we look at the scripture verses, we pray, Lord, that we would have that same anointing that those two men received as they walked with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. Father, that as we walk on our journey of life, whatever experiences that you have given us, Father, especially in the coming days, that you would just be ever so near to us. Help us to seek your abiding presence. And I pray, Father, as we study the scriptures, as we look in the Gospel of Luke, as we've already heard from the Gospel of Mark, Father, we pray that all of this would be made clear to us by your Holy Spirit. Anoint each person, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Well, I like to say good morning. Let's try that one more time, okay? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right, I like that. Back in the days when the disciples, maybe about 10, 15 years after Christ had risen from the dead, they developed a new saying. Instead of saying howdy or good morning, what they would say is one person would say, the Lord has risen, and then the other person would say, so we're going to practice that. We're going to change our good mornings to what the disciples did back then. So my goal is for all of you is to sort of to get into the feet, into the shoes of the disciples back then. And so we've got to create this environment. So one group here is going to say to them, and you've got to look at them, okay? You're going to have to say, the Lord has risen, okay? Then they're going to respond back, he has risen indeed. Okay, you ready? Now, this is the strong group here. It looks like there are more numbers on this side here. So let's hear you say,
the Lord has risen. He is risen indeed.
That was almost equal, and they've got a little bit less folks here. So let's see if you can improve on that. Let's see if we can switch that around. You guys say, the Lord has risen. And you guys, now you got to look at them. I noticed some of you were not looking at the other person. I mean, when you say, hello, do you go like this? Have a nice day. No, you don't do that. You look him in the eye. The Lord is risen. And you would say?
He is risen indeed.
And you got to be excited about it. Okay, you guys start now.
The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed.
All right, one more time.
The Lord has risen. He is risen indeed.
He has risen indeed. Exactly. That's what happened when they would greet one another. But it's amazing when you look back at the time of the crucifixion, there were a lot of folks who were down. They lost hope. They thought we thought this was the Messiah. We thought this was the promised one. We thought that he was the one who was going to kick the Romans out of our country and establish his kingdom. And so you can imagine some of their the hopeless situation that they found themselves. As we look at Luke chapter 20, 24, as you turn there, we're going to look at three different points that you have in your bulletin. We're going to look at some of the confusing things that had gone on during that time. When one gentleman came up here to read from the Gospel of Mark, we see that people were bewildered. They were trembling. There was confusion. And that was because shortly after the crucifixion, they didn't know what was going on. They thought, again, that this great king that they had cried out a week before, they said, "Hosanna in the highest." Remember that on Palm Sunday? On that Sunday, they came and they proclaimed that he was Hosanna, or the one who would save. And then 5 days later, people were crying out, "Crucify him." So the whole situation was confusing. So in our first point, we're going to look at the confusion of the disciples. Then the second point, the correction by the Savior, because he comes and corrects their misunderstanding that they have of who Jesus Christ is. And how does he do it? He does it through the Scriptures. And then last, after all the confusion is taken care of, because we understand now what the Lord has for us as he corrects us, then the most natural thing that you and I should do is to confess him. So we're going to be looking at three points: the confusion of the disciples, the correction by the Savior, and the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're going to be looking at the section in Luke 24, verses 13 to 16. And as I said, we had these disciples who didn't know what was going on at that time, and these two specific disciples were heading to a road called, or up to a city called Emmaus. And we read a bit in Mark 16, verse 12, where we see that Jesus appeared in another form to the two of them as they walked and went into the country. And in Mark 24, verses 13 to 16, we see this, and I'm reading out of the New King James Bible, so probably a lot of you have the NIV, but let me read it here in my version. "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all these things which happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him." Again, something in Mark 16, 12, and in this particular section, we see that these disciples, as confused as all get out, they don't understand what's going on, and then this traveler comes next to them. They don't recognize that it's Jesus the Lord. I don't know if perhaps there was a cloak over his head, but this was, I believe, a God thing, that God had literally restrained their eyes so that they could not recognize Jesus Christ. And as they travel to Emmaus, this is on, give you the context, this is on Easter afternoon, sometime in the afternoon. These disciples, discouraged, they decide to get out of town, take a little walk. And I know a lot of you, when you get a little bit discouraged or you can't make sense of something that's going on in your life, once in a while you go out and you'll just take a walk just to clear your air. Is that what you do? I know that I do that. I go for a little walk. And in this situation, they go for this little walk to Emmaus. Jesus draws near them and he says to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you're having with one another as you walk and are sad?" He sees that they're sad. He sees their confusion. And so he comes alongside them. And they're having a discussion. But let me read this in another version in the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Jesus is asking, "What is this dispute that you're having with each other as you are walking?" So you see what's going on. At this point of time, the disciples aren't just having a casual discussion. They're arguing with one another. They're disputing with one another. And the same word that's used in the Greek is also seen in Acts chapter 6 when Stephen was talking to the folks that were going to stone him. There was this great debate going on. So they're debating with one another, and they're saying to themselves, as you look at the context, they're probably thinking, how could we have left our Lord? Maybe they felt like Peter. We abandoned him. And you can just see this bewilderment, this confusion that's going on with these disciples. And they thought, we thought he was the Messiah. And it's at this point that Jesus comes alongside. They don't recognize him as the Lord. But get this, this is what I get out of this one passage. Think about when you're going through a hard time. Does Jesus say that he'll leave you high and dry? No, I believe the Bible says he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Didn't he say that? And so like Christ, the Holy Spirit comes alongside each one of us when we go through a difficult time. And I believe that a lot of times we may not recognize it until we get an understanding from God's word. And we'll get to that point. But the Spirit of God is always with his children. Those who have faith in him, the Spirit of God is with you. And it seemed at this point that they felt abandoned, but they weren't. So Jesus comes like the Holy Spirit, and he clears up their confusion. According to Luke 24:18, Cleopas said to Jesus, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he, Jesus, said to them, "What things?" What things were they talking about? They were talking about the current events. And they think that this guy who's walking with them is not up to speed. So they get him up to speed, and they talk about Jesus Christ. The two men said, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people." He was a mighty prophet in deed and word. What was Jesus doing here? He's asking these questions. Didn't he do this earlier in the Gospel of Mark, Mark 8? Didn't he ask his disciples, "Who do people say that I am? Hey, what's the word on the street? Who do people think I am?" And you know what they came back with? "Some people think you're John the Baptist. Some people think you're Elijah or one of the prophets." Then he points to them. And this is where Jesus, the Holy Spirit, keeps working on us. It keeps drawing us to Jesus. It's easy for us to get distracted, isn't it, with all our problems? But the key is when you do get all this confusion coming in your life is you got to keep focused on Jesus. Who do people say that I am? They say this. Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of God. That's what Peter said. But did Peter really, really get it? Because sometime after that, Jesus mentioned that he was going to go to Jerusalem, he was going to be crucified, and then be risen from the dead. It seemed like that last part, being raised from the dead, didn't catch Peter's attention or the disciples' attention. And you know what Peter said? "No way!" And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You don't have the things of God in mind." Confusion. It comes upon all of us. Some of you may have heard that I was in the hospital for a little bit. I had a small bowel obstruction. And here I am. I'm back to what I was before. Before I got into the hospital, I weighed 176. I think I weigh 177 now because I've been eating so good because this woman of mine is a great cook. And I've been eating and been enjoying myself. Now I got to go on a diet. But at one point, I was 159 pounds. I was actually starving in the hospital because they thought that the stuff that they were giving into my bowels area was actually getting pulled up through my trachea so that all that food was... So I was thin. And I'm thinking to myself, "God, what are you doing?" I'm your servant. What's going on? But you know what I kept doing? You know that one song that you sang in the beginning? I was singing that a lot. Oh God, you are my God. And I kept on singing, even though I didn't really feel like it. And I will ever praise you. And I would seek him in the morning, and I would learn to walk in his ways. And it seemed like step by step, but sometimes it feels like you're just crawling. But God brought me through it, and he taught me so much to be content with whatever situation that I was in. And I can't tell you, just the whole scenario just opened my eyes, because I kept looking to Jesus. I kept looking to his word. And this is what the Lord was trying to do, even though they didn't know that it was Jesus. The Christ, veiled Christ, came and was trying to get them to understand. This was the prophet, mighty indeed, Luke 24:20. And that they told him how the chief priest and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. And we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since all these things happened. They were acknowledging Jesus Christ, but I don't think they were getting it, because they were letting their confusion distort things. And so when the Spirit of God comes upon us and we take the word, it will clear us of our confusion. And I have to tell you, folks, okay, I've been on both sides, behind the pulpit and sitting where you are. And sometimes when a preacher is preaching the word of God, or when you're hearing the word of God spoken, sometimes we just don't get it, right? And sometimes it just flies right over our head. I've been there, done that. But I'm saying that if you will allow the words of Christ to penetrate your heart, mind, soul, he'll give you the strength so that you could love him and that you could love others. What Christ wants from you and from me is he wants us to overflow with his love. And the only way we can love him is if we understand him through his word. And this is what was going on with these disciples. They agreed, yes, he was all these things. So Jesus comes, and he gets their focus by sharing the scriptures. The second point, he corrects them by sharing the scriptures. Look at Luke 24, verses 25 and 26. He says to them, oh, foolish ones and slow to heart to believe in what? The prophets? What the prophets have spoken. This is the word of God. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Didn't he say that quite a few times to his disciples, that he would be crucified, that he would go through this horrific death so that he could die for your sins and my sins and be raised to glory? He said that. So he helped these disciples verbalize their confusion. He mentioned the fact, or these men mentioned the fact that the women had witnessed the resurrection. So they're piecing things together. But as they're getting it all together, Jesus is using the scriptures. And the scriptures are key that you need to use every day. Why do I say you need to do it? Because I'm finding myself that I have to do it every day. I just was in a little meeting with my boss a couple weeks ago, and things haven't been going real easy at work because of that illness that I had. I came back and some things were dropped and things weren't completed. You know how that goes. So there's a little bit of tension there because of that. And so the tension's been coming through a little bit, and I was having a meeting with him, and then he got pulled away. My boss got pulled away from a phone call, and I prayed a particular Bible verse that I was memorizing, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you. And I said, well, this is the will of God for me that I'm here in this place. Believe me, I would rather be in a pulpit, but God has called me at this time and place, at this place of employment. So here I had this little moment to pray and ask God to make things clear for me, and he did that. He came back, the boss started to accuse me of this, this, and this, and I said, I have to remind you, sir, that the things that you're saying are not true, because he was sort of flying off the handle on certain accusations when I was actually in the hospital. In other words, why didn't I read my email? Well, I was in the hospital at that time. And so for whatever reason, this is a God thing. He gave me the ability to step up. And I prayed in between this time and asked God, help me. With your wisdom, help me to know what to say. And he helped me. And when God's word comes into each of your lives and you apply it and you ask God, help me during this situation, he will, guaranteed. These men heard the scriptures, and verse 27 says that Jesus expounded them, the scriptures, the things concerning himself. He gave a thorough explanation of scripture, and if there's a time during Sunday school, we're going to do a little bit more expounding of what that means. But suffice it to say that our faith comes alive when we let the Word of God have its work in our life. Remember what Paul said? He said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you want to have more faith, what are you going to do? You're going to read the Scriptures. You're going to let the Scriptures penetrate your heart, and you're going to allow it to make a difference where you're at. So here are these disciples. They're walking with us. I call him the perfect stranger because he is perfect, right? And they're starting to understand all these things. And so the Bible says that they wanted this conversation to continue. And they drew near to the village, verse 28, where they were going. And he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went to stay with them. It was a long day. Resurrection morning, a lot of things were going on. In the afternoon, they're walking with this perfect stranger, and things are starting to become more clear. In Luke 24:30, he says, now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. I tell you, I wish I was one of those two disciples. Can you imagine? Jesus probably gave the greatest sermon ever when he expounded the scriptures to these two men. Wow. The most natural thing that you and I could do after we allow the scriptures to get a hold of us, as it penetrates our mind, our heart, our soul, as he gives us the strength to love him, the most natural thing we should do is to love others and to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Their eyes were opened, the Bible says, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. They weren't the type of people who would just go and say, oh, well, another day. No, they were so excited that they couldn't wait. They rose up, verse 33, that very hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. Didn't we say that in the beginning of the service? The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the thing that happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. Many commentators, as you read this particular portion of the Bible, seem to think that that what was happening is as Jesus took the bread and broke it, there's a good chance that they saw his nail-pierced wrist hand area, and that's when their eyes were opened and Jesus vanished from their sight. And it's in opportunities that we have, and I think about this in your fellowship when you have communion together. think about that's, and I believe, when is it, May 6th, you're having your next communion. I want you to think what that all means from their perspective. Put yourself in their shoes once again, that Christ is in our midst. We may not be able to see him, but he's burning in our hearts through his holy word. And the more his word gets in your heart, the more you'll want to confess Jesus Christ, as these gentlemen did as well on that Easter morning. And I'm sure many times after that. When Jesus Christ is present, when he makes sense of everything, when he corrects us, again, the most natural thing you'll do is confess him, and he'll bring peace. Luke 24:36 mentions that while they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." And as they shared their testimony, the risen Christ was in their midst. He calmed their spirits. He said in Luke 24:39, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see me, for a spirit does not have flesh and bone as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, just like in the video. I don't know if you saw that at the end, that one gentleman had Jesus' hands put on him, on his shoulder, but there was the pierced hand on his shoulder. Again, the word of God was made plainly known to them. Verse 44, that he spoke to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written," where? "In our Bible, in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written." You see how he keeps driving home the scriptures. "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And we know in Acts 1:8, Jesus told his disciples that you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will be witnesses in Royal Center, Logansport, in this county, Cass County or White County, wherever God has planted you, because the word of God has come into your life and you acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are now ambassadors of him. And when you get into tough situations where things seem so confusing, what do? You keep looking to Jesus. You look at his word, memorize his word, have a devotion in the morning. Allow him to be fresh in your life every day. And when you do that, you're going to overflow with the love of Christ. And the most natural thing is you'll confess him. You know, the days are waning. Things, I can't say they're getting better. When you look at prophecy and everything, you see that things will get worse until Jesus comes. So there are a lot of folks that God has put in your life. You've got a sphere of influence that I don't have. What are you going to do with those folks you know that are lost, that are going to hell? Fill your life with the word of God, with his presence, and he will use you. He will allow you to turn the world upside down. I'm going to read this last thing from Chuck Swindoll, and I'll close in prayer. But we all think that these disciples were superhuman, and they weren't. They were no different than you or me. Chuck Swindoll, in his book, The Darkness and the Dawn, says that we have immortalized the disciples as men of incredible courage and remarkable understanding. Not. But they were not always that way. When Jesus breathed his last gasping breath on the cross, these men returned to their homes and their former lives. The fishermen returned to their nets, sorrowful and totally disillusioned. Before they were apprehensive, now they were scared because each of them could be identified with this Jewish insurrectionist who had just been crucified. They denied, they doubted, and they fled. And yet, by the middle of the book of Acts, no more than 30 years later, these same disciples and their converts were described as these men that have turned the world upside down. Are you ready to turn this world upside down in Royal Center? I believe you guys can do it. Because the resurrected Christ is living in you. So go get him, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Father, give us the Holy Spirit unction from above, Lord, to just to be so real to us. Father, that when we are confused, that you'll give us an understanding of who you are through the scriptures. And Father, that we would just allow the Word of God to take control of our lives, that the Spirit of God would just come in a mighty way through the power of the Word. And that, Father, through this combination, we can confess and agree with you that you are Lord, and that we could tell others, others who may treat you as a complete stranger, but Lord, we know, Lord, that your Spirit is amongst your people. So we pray, Lord, that you would just anoint them with a power from above to share Christ in their Jerusalem, in their Royal Center area. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.